with a message from God's Word, here's Charles Stanley.
Why do you think you keep failing in the same area of your life over and over and over again? Well, you say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do what's right. I want to be obedient to God. I want to walk in His ways, but somehow I just can't seem to make it. There seems to be one area of my life I just can't seem to overcome. Why do you think that happens? How long has it been going on? Do you understand how to respond to that, what to do about it? Well, that's what I want to talk about in this message. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. And then we're going to read another passage of Scripture briefly. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. And this is the fourth and last message in the series concerning a satanic attack. And we've talked about those attacks and how Satan comes at us. And this morning I want us to talk about it in a little different light. And beginning in verse 10, here's what he says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now watch this next verse. In addition to all of this, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The title of this message is Extinguishing Satan's Flaming Missiles, or his flaming arrows. How do we do that? What's that all about? Well, it's very evident that the Apostle Paul believes that somehow you and I can have victory in our life, because he says four times, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. And oftentimes we don't realize why we keep on being defeated. And there's a very specific reason why we are. And I think once you understand what that area of weakness is, how it developed, why it's there, and then you understand how you can have victory over that, then God's going to give you some peace and some victory in your life that you probably have not had, maybe some of you, since you were very small. And as you think about what he said, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Let's define what a satanic attack is. A satanic attack is a deliberate, willful assault upon a child of God or upon unbelievers, for the primary purpose of destroying, hindering in some fashion, your body, your soul, your spirit, or all three. Satan's objectives are very clear. He wants to draw you away from God, thwart God's purpose in your life. He wants to deny God the glory and honor that's due Him as a result of your life. And he wants to destroy you ultimately. In essence, here's what Satan's up to. Replacing God with himself in your life. That's his goal. He'll never be satisfied until at least he's making some headway in that line. Now, when I think about that, I think about the question, well, how does he do that? In other words, if that's his goal, how does he do that? Well, Paul very graphically explains that in this simple verse when he says in verse 16 that Satan, listen, he says, is sending these flaming arrows. That is, he says, we'll be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. So we know what the source is. The source is Satan himself. Flaming arrows, what does he mean by that? Well, if you'll think about it for a moment, what he's doing, he's taking the imagery of a Roman soldier, which he knew very well. And here's what he says. He says, these soldiers were dressed in a certain fashion, armed in a certain way, in order to be able to deflect, in some fashion, those flaming arrows. Now, what they would do is simply this. They would take an arrow and dip it into pitch, and then light it with fire, so that it had a twofold weapon. That is, not only would the arrow penetrate whatever it hit, But he would also splatter that pitch, which was a flame, and so there was fire wherever it hit. And so what he's saying to you and to me is simply this. Satan is continually firing his flaming missiles at you and me. What are they? They are evil thoughts of seduction. That is, evil thoughts of temptation. Because you see, Satan knows that our mind is the battlefield. And so the way he attempts to penetrate our life and to destroy us is to send these flaming missiles, just one after the other, into our life, into our mind. The mind is the battleground. He understands that. And so it is our thought life that he's after. And so one after the other comes. In those days when they were fighting a war, oftentimes they would send hundreds and sometimes thousands of arrows at a time. When hundreds and hundreds of men, soldiers, would fire them at the same time. And here they come like flaming torches. Very, very difficult to avoid being damaged or hurt or injured or killed in some fashion. Satan is up to the same tactic in your life and mine. Only what he does is that he singles out for every single one of us that area of weakness in order to set up a stronghold. That is a fortress, as the Bible says, in your life and mine to defeat us. So I want you to go back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's notice what the Apostle Paul says in this passage. Chapter 10. He says in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare," acknowledging the fact that our Christian life is a warfare, "the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Now, what does he mean by fortress? I'm coming to that. He says, we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In essence, here's what he's saying. He says, we're in a warfare, and we're going to be in this warfare until the day the Lord calls us home. And then he says, our weapons are not of the flesh. That is, the kind of warfare we are fighting is not a physical war, and so therefore our weapons aren't physical. Though he uses the image of the Roman soldier, the sword and shield and helmet and breastplate and all the rest. He says, we're in a spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual battle. Our weapons are spiritual. Faith, for example, and the Word of God. And so he said, they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, which simply means this, that the weapons God has given us has made it possible for you and me to be able to withstand the onslaught, the assaults of Satan upon us individually, and oftentimes in groups, but it's always ultimately individually. We have to resort to the proper armor and the proper tools, of the proper weapons, in order to overcome the kind of assaults he makes on us, because they are very, very carefully designed. Satan doesn't cast some evil thought our way at random. He knows exactly where to hit us, where we're the weakest, and when to do it. And so therefore, he says, we are destroying speculations. That means with our weapons, we can destroy, we can deflect with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, those false ideas about God, false doctrine, false thinking about God, those speculations, he says, and every lofty thing, every philosophical idea that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. And he says, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, which simply means this, that when Satan fires one of these missiles at us, which is a thought, an evil thought, some seductive kind of thought, we have the privilege of being able to deflect that. And he says, what we do, we'll take every one of these thoughts, he says, in obedience to Christ, that is captive by his word. Here's what he means. Simply this, that when these thoughts come to our mind, we hold that thought before what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches, what he teaches throughout the Word of God. Does it fit who we are? Does it fit the Word of God? Is there something in God's Word that says, you know, that's evil, that's wrong, that's a manipulation, doesn't fit who you are? Walk away from that, don't accept it. So this is what he's talking about when he's talking about these weapons of our warfare and how we're to operate. Now, with that in mind, think about, for example, what you have to think about in your life, because the way we think is going to be the way we behave. And so Satan is going to fire those thoughts at us. And guess what happens? Listen carefully. When an evil thought or wrong thought comes to your mind, you can do one of two things. You can either, knowing that it is not right, you can say, I refuse that, I shut that out. You don't have to accept it. Or you can entertain the idea. If you entertain the idea, what it means is you accept it to the point that you're willing to consider it. And when you start considering evil thoughts, and you start considering and beginning to think about and inviting those kind of thoughts in your mind, you're headed in the very direction Satan wants you to head in, because here's what happens. When you do that over a period of time, Satan not only gets a toehold, after a while he gets a foothold, before long a stronghold or a fortress, and then what he has a command post on the inside of your life, inside of your mind, from which to harass you and to cause you defeat over and over and over again. This is why you fail in the same area of your life over and over and over again, because he now has a fortress or a stronghold. Instead of bringing these thoughts to the obedience of Christ, looking at these thoughts instantly, quick in light of what you know about the Scripture, you accept them. You entertain them. You begin to think about them. The longer you think about them, the greater hold they take on your life. And so what happens is, as you and I begin to think a certain way, our behavior goes that way. Because you see, Satan's not worried about your feet. He's not sending anything at your feet. He wants it in your mind. Because he knows that where your mind goes, your feet's going to follow sooner or later. He knows exactly how to attack us. He knows exactly what to attack us with. Very well designed ideas, thoughts, evil thoughts, seductive temptations that he knows, well, if he hits us in the right way at the right time, we're in trouble. And here's what I want you to notice. These arrows, these flaming missiles, are usually aimed at some desire we have, some need that we have, some weakness that we have in our life. Usually, he points it to something we don't have so strongly that we forget all the good things that God does for us, and the only thing we can think about is what we don't have, and naturally, that's part of his deception. Remember, his whole idea is to deceive, divide, and destroy. If he can deceive us into thinking that, listen, God is depriving us of something we ought to have, or we certainly aren't getting our share, if he can deceive us into thinking that we can manipulate our circumstance in some fashion, some way, then he's established a stronghold in our life. And so when you look at your behavior, remember this. Whatever you're doing, whatever your behavior, it's because that's the way you think. Somebody says, I can't help it. Yes, you can. And you may get to a point in your life where you think you absolutely cannot do anything about it. Well, there's a reason you've come to that point. Satan's fired one of his missiles, his evil thoughts, wrong thoughts to you. You accepted it. You entertained it. And then what happens? He got a toehold. Finally became a stronghold. And then finally what? He has you wrapped up in bondage, in some form of bondage, and you wonder, why do you act the way you act? There is a very specific reason, and it's very evident from it. Now somebody says, well now, how would you define a stronghold? A stronghold is that hold Satan gets on your life and your thinking that prevents you from walking obediently before God in a certain area. And so, all he wants is one. He may come to you in many areas, but listen, ultimately, if he can just get a stronghold in your thinking somewhere, that stronghold is a thinking of darkness. It's a darkness in your mind and your thinking. It ends up in being something that is compulsive, something that you feel like you have to do. And oftentimes, it's a recurring thought. In fact, the truth is, ultimately, that's what it becomes. That is a series of recurring thoughts about the same way. Whatever that area of weakness is, if he can get you thinking the same way over and over and over again, then before long he has a stronghold in your life. That's the way you think. And so you feel this compulsion to do it. You just feel some obsession in your life, some addiction in your life. And somehow you find yourself, that's where you are, and you just can't seem to break out of it no matter how hard you try. Now, this is the way he does it. He fires, for example, and we'll give you some examples in a moment. He fires one of those arrows into a certain area. He comes back and he fires another one, and another one, and another one. And what happens is, after a while, if you have opened your mind to it, He has poured into your mind a very, very convincing list of reasons why you ought to do a certain thing, why you should, why you must, why you can, and it's all right. Each one of those arrows, listen, has as its objective to convince you more thoroughly that what he's saying to you is right and okay and profitable, and in the long run you'll be better off. All of which, remember, each one is a lie. Jesus said he's the father of lies. He's not going to tell you the truth. He's not going to talk about consequences. He's only going to talk about what you think is good for you at this moment. That's the way he operates. So as you think about what gets you headed in that direction you know you ought not to be headed in, what is it that happens when you begin to move in an area of your life that you know, I don't have any business going there, but you go anyway? You say, I just can't help myself. Well, the truth is, probably in your own strength, you can't help yourself. But each time you move in that direction, it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, let's take a list, for example, of some of these. Let's say, for example, fear. Once Satan can interject into your life, once he can fire one of those arrows in a certain situation, all of a sudden, he gets you afraid, just for the moment. You entertain that. He's going to fire another one to say, this is the reason you ought to be afraid. Suppose this happens. Suppose that happens. What about what she thinks? What does he think? And suppose this happens to you financially. Suppose you lose this. And suppose, in other words, he's just firing one arrow after the other. Each one, listen, digging a little deeper into your mind until you end up beginning to think the way he thinks. You're not to think the way God thinks. He wants us to think the way he thinks. And it's those recurring thoughts, those continuous arrows flying into your mind, those thought patterns, until finally it's the way you think. And you can think very erroneously, but it's the way you think. It could be, for example, an arrow of fear, or of doubt, or of lust, or of jealousy, of unforgiveness, of discouragement, of pride. It could be one of a number of things. What is it? In other words, you may be a gossip, and just somehow you've just got to tell everything you know, and a lot of stuff you don't know. Or it may be that you're jealous, and Satan has fired an arrow and said to you, you ought to be the one who has that. If you entertain that thought for a moment, you know what? He'll fire another one and say, and this is the reason you should. And another one, and you can. And on and on and on it goes. What does it do? Steals your joy, your peace, your happiness, your contentment in life. That's what he's up to. He cannot destroy your soul as a believer, but he can play havoc with your emotions, havoc with your thinking, and havoc with your life. Can't take your life from you, but he can make your life so miserable sometimes you wish you weren't alive. Remember, what he wants to do is to replace God in your life. And the reason you keep feeling weakness and failure in this particular area, he fired a missile, you accepted it, you began to think about it, you began to consider it, you got into some debate with him about it, next thing you know, he's got a toehold, foothold, stronghold, and now he has a command post in your thinking, and now you're thinking in that area the way he thinks. And you wonder, why do I keep being defeated? Well, people, for example, who are in all kinds of addiction, in all kinds of bondage, how did it all start? For example, Satan would say to a young person, look, just one drink's not going to hurt you. I mean, after all, your friends are doing it, and so just relax and have one. He's never fired an arrow and said, become an alcoholic. No, just take a drink. So he says to a young person, just take one. Then Satan says, look at your friends. I mean, they drink a little bit, it doesn't hurt them. Now, this, if you want a real fiery arrow, then Satan says, well, look in the refrigerator. Your father's got a six-pack in there, and he drinks beer. He's your dad. I'm telling you, he's a master. He's a master at proof. He's a master at convincing us, and all he does is fire one convincing arrow after the other. And if you let the first one in, what he's got is a toehold. That's all he wants. Because at the proper time, he'll fire another barrage. And before long, he's got a foothold. Next thing you know, he has your thinking so confused, so mixed up, and you begin to rationalize. And what you've done is you've fallen into the trap. You're talking Satan's language. You're thinking the way Satan thinks. And that's how he destroys people. And that's why Paul said, these flaming missiles, these flaming arrows of the evil one, they all come from Satan. A satanic attack is all about how we defend ourselves from these flaming arrows of seductive evil thoughts, wrong thoughts. How do we handle them? And you look around today and you can tell that most folks haven't handled it very well. And you see people living in all kinds of sin and all kinds of addictions and all kinds of habits. And they defend what they do and defend how they live. And the truth is, deep down inside, you can mark this down. Deep down inside, they're miserable. I don't care how much they laugh in public. I don't care how famous they may be or how rich they may be or how secure they may feel. All of these things, the truth is this. When Satan gets a stronghold in your life, you are captive to the devil. And you may say, well, you know what? Oh, I've got freedom. I can do what I want. And oftentimes the wealthier person is, the freer they think they are. And the truth is they're absolutely captivated. Greed, for example. You see, here's what Satan does. He doesn't say get greedy. Here's what he says. He says, you ought to have that. Well, now, you know what? That's good. Look how good that is. Next arrow comes over. That's not quite enough. Next arrow comes over. That's not quite enough. Next arrow comes over and says, this is the way. If you want to increase, this is the way you do it. And you have to, next arrow, you have to take advantage of situations. And after all, if you don't get it, somebody else is going to get it. Besides that, you have a right. And on and on and on he goes. And you know what? Before long again, you're thinking like the devil. You can take any one of them. How do you defend yourself against that? Well, what I'd like to do is to take a couple of examples and show you in the Scripture just how Satan has done this and what happens. Go back to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment, and this is Satan's encounter with Eve. Listen and notice what he says. Because what he did to Eve, and we're going to come to David in a moment, what he did to him is exactly the same way he operates in the life of a believer or an unbeliever today. So, here we have Eve in the garden. We don't know where Adam is at this moment. And whether all of this happened in the sequence of events, moment after moment, or whether it happened over a period of time, we don't know that. So listen to what happens. Here we have Eve in the garden, and Satan comes along and he said to her, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Now, what kind of a flaming missile is that? A flaming missile of what? Doubt. Is that really what God said? So she responded, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat from it, or touch it, or you will die. She should have said, slam to the door, and walked away. She didn't do that. So Satan, he fires his next missile, and he says to her, oh, you'll not really die. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Toehold. You'll not really die. And listen to this next missile, what happens. He sends another one. He says, for God knows that the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Next missile says, God's depriving you of something that you ought to know. Because if you ate of that tree, you'd be like God. You'd know the things that God knows. Well, you say, well, that should have been enough. No, he fires another one. He says, by the way, the tree, look how beautiful that fruit is. And you ought to taste of it. Next missile. And besides that, you'll be smart like God. You know what? Toehold, foothold, stronghold, defeat. What he does, now watch this, because he's doing it in your life. This is the way he operates. He's always operated this way. He gives you just enough. And if you listen to that, he'll give you a little bit more. And what happens? He leads you down this path of destruction and addictions and habits until finally your life is destroyed. You say, well, that doesn't necessarily destroy my life. Well, it'll teach you out of your joy, peace, happiness, and contentment. And besides that, because you see, people who are addicted in bad habits and they have these cycles of thinking that are wrong, they wake up every single morning and they have to deal with it. There's no peace and joy and happiness in that. Now, I want to give you one that's more graphic than that. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, watch this one. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Listen to what happens. I'm going to read you this passage, and then let's look at it. Because I want you to see the pattern. This is the way Satan works. Look at this. Chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, verse 1. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab his servants with him. And all Israel, they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Now, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, which he'd probably done many times. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. And she was pregnant. Then, here's what David does. David finds out who her husband is, calls him, and tries to manipulate the circumstance that he'd go home to his wife. Well, this man is so loyal, he won't do that. And so what happens is, 14th verse, "Now in the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He had written in the letter saying, 'Place Uriah in the front line of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die.'" Then to show you how far it goes, the 25th verse says, David said, look, 24th verse, "Moreover, the archers shot at your servants from the wall," the messenger told him, "so some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead." Then David said to the messenger, well, that's just life. "Thus you shall say to Joab, 'Do not let this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. So make your battle against the city stronger and overthrow it, and so encourage it.' Now when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the time of mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, became his wife. She bore him a son, but the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord." Now watch this. Every person who's tempted by, whether it's lust of any kind of sexual thing, listen carefully. What happened? David is taking his natural, normal, innocent walk around the balcony of his castle. He happens to look down, and he sees this woman bathing. This is David who wrote the Psalms. This is David who knows the truth. This is David who knows what lust is about. He looked, and instead of moving on, knowing that he should not have stood there, here's what happened. In his curiosity, he invited Satan's thoughts. So what does he do? He's wondering who she is. Curiosity. Sends another arrow. You can find out. You're the king. So he finds out a messenger who she is. So what does he do? Satan sends another fiery arrow. You're the king. Can't you have what you want? And so what does he do? He sends for her. He sends another fiery arrow. After all, you're the king. Can't you do what you choose, what you please? And he commits adultery. Here's this David, this godly man. And here's what happens. He manipulates the circumstance so that her husband is killed in battle. And then he sends another arrow. Well, here's what you do. You tell Joab, you tell your commanders, after all, this is things just happening bad. This is life. He sends another arrow. Well, her husband's dead. Now you can really have her. He takes her to be his wife. And did he ever mess up his kingdom and foul up God's plan, his work? It's just that simple and just that graphic. That's the way Satan operates, whether it's money, fame, position, sex, you name it. It's this way he operates. And so the whole issue of a satanic attack is this. Deceive, divide, and destroy. And how does he do it? Evil thoughts, wrong thoughts, what? That he flings toward our thinking. And listen, now watch this. Satan can't make you think anything. He can't make you think about anything. He can't force your hand as a believer. Now, if you're not a child of God, he's got all kind of power over your life. But a child of God, listen, Satan can't make you as a child of God do anything. So when these flaming arrows come to your mind, you have within you the power to turn away and say no. If you look and you know it's wrong, then don't keep looking. If you listen and know what you've heard is wrong, don't keep listening. If somebody makes you some big deal offer or something that you think, and they said you just, there's no way you can turn this down, you listen. You know what he said? Bring every thought to obedience to Christ. Every thought. And listen, this can happen instantly. Any man or woman knows, and women are just as guilty, any man or woman knows the look of lust is wrong. That is a look with the intention to do something about it. And therefore you stop now, or you entertain the idea, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble. For example, oftentimes when it comes to finances, Satan will offer you an opportunity that looks fantastic. When you hold it in light of God's words, God says to you, don't go there. Don't do that. Well, what's wrong with it? Then Satan says to you, listen, it's the opportunity of your life. This is your opportunity to have security in your life. And you know what? He's going to pile on the arrows. You ask yourself the question, does this fit who I am? Is there anything in Scripture that says this is a violation? It's what I call the critical moment of decision, CMD. The critical moment of decision is this. When it first hits you, that's the time you deal with it, right now. You don't say, well, you know, I'm going to think about that for 3 or 4 days. And you know what? When you do, all you've done is you've allowed Satan to do what? He's firing one arrow after the other. Toehold becomes foothold. Foothold becomes what? A stronghold or a fortress in your life. Now he has a place in your thinking to govern your conduct because you have allowed him, listen, you have allowed him to set up a train of thought in your life. You've listened to his lies. You've been deceived by him. It can never come out right. You can't ever make wrong right. You can't convince God to do something different than is his will. This is the way Satan operates. This is what warfare is all about. And you could take these two examples, or you could take many other in Scripture, and you could go through it, and then, of course, you can look back maybe in your own life and say, you know what? That's exactly what the devil did to me. That's exactly how he's operated in my life. And you're wondering how you got in the position you're in, why you feel this bondage in your life. And I understand this. Listen, I'm sure that there are people who are listening who say, you know what, that's not what I want in my life. That is where I am, but that's not what I want in my life. You can be delivered. What I want you to see is how you got there. And I want you to see that because you're not going to get delivered and remain delivered if you don't know how you got there and how to defend yourself against it, because I can tell you, Satan is not going to let up on any of us. He hates what we're doing. He hates the believer. He hates the praying person. He hates the godly person. He hates those who are honest and want to do the right thing and walk in and do the will of God. He hates that. So what does he do? He's this invisible force who is extremely powerful but not omnipotent. Extremely knowledgeable, but not omniscient. And he knows our point of weakness. And when we yield in that point of weakness, all he does is build a stronger fortress, a stronger stronghold in our life from which to operate. So we have to deal with that. So you need to ask yourself the question, Lord, is there some area of weakness in my life? And it can be one, as we said, of a number of things. We just mentioned some, and there are many others. But what is it that's there that keeps defeating you? You want to do what's right, but in spite of your best efforts, you come up failing. And so finally you've said, well, I guess this is just the way life is. I guess that you really can't live an obedient life in this world. I guess this is just part, nobody's perfect, and this is just part of living, and sin's just part of living, and therefore I'm just going to accept the way I am, and I'm not going to get all been out of shape. Listen, why do you think God put scriptures like this in the Bible? Let's say, for example, let's take an example of fear, because that's a major problem a lot of people today. Fear about their future security, all these things. Fear about their health. Fear about decisions they're about to make. Fear, fear, fear. What does he say? He says, we have the shield of faith. That is, we can trust God. And we have the sword of the Spirit. We have his word. So let's take fear as an example. I'll give you three examples. Take fear as an example. Go back to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Let's say that Satan has really fired a missile at you. And he's got you afraid about your future, your security. Let's say, for example, that you've lost your job and Satan is just pouring the arrows on. And here's what he's saying. He says, you know, you lost it. You don't have a job. You don't have any security now. What are you going to do? What are people going to think about the fact that you lost your job? And what about, in other words, he just goes on and on and on. Listen, when that thought hits you, you don't invite it. You don't dwell on it, and you don't entertain it. You come to the Word of God, and you read this verse. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a godly person's answer to Satan's fiery missile. My God will take care of me. And the shield of faith says, I believe that I do not have to accept Satan's lie that I have to be afraid of anything. For example, suppose he fires the flaming missile of pride at you. What do you fire back at him at this? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. You know what? You do not have to entertain thoughts of pride. Humble yourselves before the living God. By faith, I'm trusting God to bless me the way he wants to deal with my life the way he chooses. And I acknowledge, Father, that, listen, everything that comes my way, you are the source of it. Satan hates that because he wants to replace God in your life. Okay, let's say that, for example, you get tempted morally. Satan throws, he fires one at you. All right, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Satan fires one of these at you, listen to this verse. It is the will of God that you abstain from sexual immorality. No question about it. That he says, the will of God that you abstain from it. Then he says in verse 7, God's not called us for the purpose of impurity, but sanctification, that is, holy living. Verse 8, he says, so he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So see, here's what Satan does. He fires one of these arrows of some kind of seductive immorality. And so if you entertain the thought, the next one's going to be, well, nobody's perfect, and you're this, and you're normal, and you're natural, and you have your needs, and God understands. Listen to this verse. This is the will of God, your sanctification, a holy life, that you abstain from sexual immorality. He who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives you the Holy Spirit. Very simple, very clear. Satan will do everything, and he has convinced millions and billions of people that a little bit of this and a little bit of that is okay. What does he say in his word? God knows. Listen, the sword of the Spirit. Listen, the word of God is part of our defense against Satan's attacks. The shield of faith, I'm trusting God to meet my needs. Trusting God to give me wisdom. Trusting God to give me direction. We don't have to yield to, because remember this, every single fiery arrow that comes your way originated in the mind of a liar, the chief liar, who is the devil himself. Jesus said he's the father of lies, he's the evil one, so that everything that comes from him is bad. It's all bad. It's ultimately bad because anything that good he may allow or send into your life is a form of manipulation to get you to enjoy his good and all that you would yield to his evil. That's the way he operates. And so that's a satanic attack. Get into your brain, your thinking, his thinking, so that you'll follow his will, because he knows that your thinking, your feet are going to follow the way you think. And if you're thinking evil and thinking wrong, you're going to head in that direction. Before long, he's got you. And you wonder why you're in the bondage you're in? Because you opened your mind, you entertained the thought, you didn't deal with it instantly. Listen, that moment in time, critical moment of decision, is when the thought first comes. Is this of God or is it not? Most of the time, you and I know it's not of God. We know enough to know it's not of God. We don't have to piddle around and say, well, you know, there are different views. That is another one of Satan's arrows. Well, there are different views. The truth is, when he says, thou shalt not steal, there are no other views that are worth listening to, or anything else he says, thou shalt not. It is Satan's way. It's just one more fiery, flaming arrow to say, well, you know, this is a different day. This is a new society. This is a different time in history. All of this is mental jargon to get you to think the way Satan thinks, because he knows if he can get you to think a little bit that way, he's got you sooner or later. Now, with all that in mind and all the other three messages we've talked about, in a very practical way, how do you do two things? Number one, how do you deal with these satanic attacks? And secondly, how do you deal with the stronghold that gets in your life? Let's look at the attack, first of all. Now, I know what you may be thinking, and you're going to think, well, now you know now, that's just too simple. Let me ask you, why do you think Jesus gave parables? Why do you think he described and illustrated things in nature and birds and flowers and so forth? Because he wanted to be simple. So here's what Paul says. He says, this is the way you survive a satanic attack. And so I want to give you a suggestion that works. I know it works. Many other people know it works. And here's what Satan's going to tell you. Oh, goodness, that won't work. Arrow number one, I'm telling you right up front, he's going to fire it at you. Because you see, here's what he's going to do. And I know what he fires. And while you're sitting in church, what's he, do you think he's off somewhere else saying, well, let's let Stanley get through and then we'll go over there? No, he's not doing that. He's firing those flaming arrows. The first thing he's going to say to you is this, that's too simple. That came straight from the devil. It won't work. Second arrow, came straight from the devil. Number three, that's just preacher talk, straight from the devil. Number four, other people tried that and hadn't worked, straight from the devil. What you have to decide before I tell you this is, am I going to believe the Word of God? Not me, the Word of God. Am I going to trust the Word of God? Am I going to think the way Satan wants me to think? Here's the way God wants you to think. Before you get out of the bed tomorrow morning, you dress first before you get out of the bed. I don't care what you wore to bed, you dress first. Here's what you do. You say, Father, I want to thank you today as I put on the helmet of salvation that you'll protect my thinking. I put on by faith the breastplate of righteousness that you protect my emotions, how I feel. I put on the belt of truth today to be able to know the difference between truth and error, right and wrong in every aspect of my life. I put on my boots of preparation to be able to stand today to face anything that comes my way. Father, I take the shield of faith. Today I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in every aspect of my life. And today, Father, I take the sword of the Spirit, your word. And through your word, I'm going to check everything that comes my way to see if it fits who I am and your will for my life. What you have done, spiritually by faith, you have dressed yourself in the armor of God. Now watch this. God cannot overlook that. God cannot ignore that. Because here's what you've said. You've said, Father, I'm dressing spiritually. Because this is spiritual warfare. So you have to dress spiritually. You've said, Father, I'm dressing spiritually by faith. Then get up and put on your other clothes. Go to work. You know what you've told God? Mind, emotions, truth, preparation, faith, and the Word of God. Now, then what you want to do is you want to tell the Lord today, Father, I want to walk in communion with you today. The Bible says praying always, which means that I have a relationship to Him, that I'm constantly aware of what's going on. And Father, today as I'm going about my life, I want to thank you that you're going to make me aware, alert. My prayers are going to make me alert to what's going on around me, that I understand what's happening, and that you're going to enable me today to be very discerning about what I hear. If what I hear is the truth, or it's shaded. If it's a form of manipulation, or some offer, or some opportunity, I want to be sure that all fits who I am in Christ Jesus. So what you've done, you've acknowledged you're in a warfare. You've dressed in the armor of the living God. You're praying and you're taking a very firm stand against Satan. And what you've done is you have prepared yourself for any fiery dart that comes your way. Because listen to what Paul said. He said, extinguishing all the flaming fiery darts of the evil one. Which says that you are equipped today. You say, well now, if you do that once a week, let me ask you a question. Does Satan work on you once a week? No. How many arrows? Listen, if you take this sermon to heart and you go to work tomorrow morning, you just count how many times tomorrow you get one of those flaming arrows. If you'll think about it, negative, wrong, evil, seductive kind of thoughts, all those came from the evil one. And every single one of them can be deflected by faith in the Word of God. You say, all right. Suppose you already have one of those strongholds in your life, and I mean, it's just got you. You know it. You fight it all the time in your thinking. And you know what? You know why a lot of people do a poor job in their vocation? They have a divided mind. The stronghold is always working. And what's happening is that while they're trying to do their job over here the way they ought to, the stronghold is dividing their mind. If it's something they look at, something they think about, something they want, whatever, it's always dividing their mind. How do you deal with that? The first thing you do is you acknowledge it. God, here's a weakness in my life. There's a stronghold. I've allowed Satan to get into my life. He's got me in bondage. And God, I can't do anything about it myself. But I do believe that because you said, this poor man cried and the Lord delivered him. I'm crying out to you in genuine repentance. That means I am genuinely, truly sorrowful for the fact that I have allowed Satan to get such a hold in my life. I regret the pain and the hurt that I've caused other people. I regret the hours I've wasted in a divided mind. I could have been filling my mind with the Word of God and maybe being a help in serving you. And God, I've wasted time. Genuine repentance. And asking God to set you free of that fear. Set you free of that jealousy. Set you free, listen, of that doubt. Set you free of this discouragement that just clouds your life. Set you free. Crying out to God to set you free in genuine repentance and asking Him with the power of the Holy Spirit, not your energy, the power of the Spirit of God, set me free and accept as done exactly what He said. You say, well, is it that easy? I didn't say it was easy. He said, he who comes to me, I will no wise cast out. Do you think God would refuse that kind of a prayer? No, He will not. He will answer that petition. Do you think Satan's going to let up on you? No, he's not. He's going to keep firing him away. The difference is this. Now you understand what's happening. And now you understand you have the power of God within you to be able to say no. I was talking to someone yesterday who gave me an incident of what happened. And from that moment on, that man who'd been drinking all of his life and smoking all of his life for years and years and years, from that moment, he walked away from it, and now for about 25 years, never had a cigarette, never had a drink. Somebody says, well, it takes time to quit. You know what? That's what Satan says. No, don't quit. Just look, take it easy and just do this a little bit at a time. You know what? All Satan's doing is this, is keeping you in bondage. I'm telling you, my friend, Almighty God, who is the sovereign of this universe, will set you free. No matter what it is, He will set you free. If God can't set you free, He's not God. If He can raise somebody from the dead, He can set you free. Create this world, set you free. Keep everything in balance, set you free. Take you to heaven one of these days, set you free. If you want to be free, if you cry out to be free, you choose to be free. That's the kind of God He is. No matter who you are and where you are, He'll set you free if you'll trust Him. Father, how great You are. How insignificant we are in some ways, and yet You love us enough and have made us significant enough to die on the cross in our behalf. And I pray the Holy Spirit at this very moment will set multitudes of people free. And that all believers who have listened and who listen to this message will begin to practice that simple, not suggestion, but command by the Apostle Paul to dress up for the battle every day. Thank you for your deliverance, and thank you for your divine protection. And I pray the Holy Spirit will sink this message so deeply into people's hearts, so strong, cannot forget it. And that every person who is in bondage who listens to this will realize there is a way out, but there is only one way out. And that's for the power of Almighty God through His Son, your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen. You may have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're saying, well, I'm not a Christian. How's all this going to work in my life? It's not going to work. Until, first of all, you make this decision to be willing to confess your sins to God through His Son, Jesus, and acknowledge your sinfulness, your rebellion, your waywardness, and say to Him, Father, by faith I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't understand it all, but I know that I've sinned against you. I do believe that He went to the cross. He died and took my sin debt in full. I'm accepting His death as payment for my sin and accepting Him as my personal Savior by faith in the truth of the Word of God. And my friend, that's all it takes to transform your life, to change your eternal destiny from hell to heaven, and to begin setting you... Listen, once you do that, you simply take the truth that you've heard today. No matter what bondage is in your life, God will set you free.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, speaker on the In Touch television and radio broadcasts. To order additional copies of this message, or for a catalog listing available video and audio copies of other messages by Dr. Stanley, call toll-free 1-800-323-3747 or place an order online when you visit our website at intouch.org. If you prefer to write for more information, our mailing address is In Touch, Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. If outside the USA, please contact your local In Touch office. This has been a production of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.